Thank you for downloading this New Zealand Sports Radio show. We have a new way that you can support us. There is a link in the notes down below where you can make a one-off donation to New Zealand Sports Radio. Thank you for support and enjoy the show.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to the morning sports briefing here on Tuesday, the 27th of October. Yes, it might be a Tuesday, but it might feel like a Monday for you after the long weekend. I hope you had a fantastic long weekend, everybody. Hi, I'm Paul. I'll be your host this morning. In the news today, we have news from IndyCar and how Scott Dixon went in the last race of the season as he was chasing the championship title. Also, Scott McLaughlin's first race in IndyCar as well. We'll mention how both those go get on. Bring up to date with the cycling at the Valletta España. We have horse riding news or three-day eventing news today. Bring up to date with how our top Kiwi is doing in the tennis. We'll touch on rugby as international rugby is returning in Europe. We'll update on the golf as well. We had two golfers in action over the weekend in the LPGA and the PGA, as well as bringing up to date with what the NBL season is going to look like in 2021. This is your best way to start the day up to speed with all of the important sports news. And yes, the big news is around the IndyCar. Massive congratulations to Scott Dixon, who has claimed his sixth IndyCar title, which means that he is now one away from the record of legendary A.J. Foyt, who won seven titles. Scott Dixon's challenger for the title, Josef Newgarden, won the race after starting eighth on the grid, but that was not enough to overhaul Scott, who finished third on the grid to finish 16 points ahead of his rival in the overall championship. There were multiple crashes during the race, which obviously brought out safety cars and things. One of those, unfortunately, was Scott McLaughlin. He tangled with Marco Andretti, which then meant that Rinus VK hit him and ended Scott McLaughlin's race on lap 47 there. So not the best start to his IndyCar career, but still a brand new type of car without much testing. It would say a decent result from him. Over in equestrian eventing, you've got to say that the season has been decimated by COVID. Normally, there are six CCI five-star events across the globe, but with Kentucky Badminton, Lumahulen, Burghley, and Adelaide all are being cancelled. There was just one this year, which was the Les Estoles de Pau, or Stars of Pau, which was held in France. Congratulations to Tim Price, who finished third in that event on top of his horse Wesco. They started well with the best ever dressage score to sit in fourth place, and as I say, then managed to get themselves up to third overall. Tim's wife, Joan Jonelle, Price also was in competing, and she finished 12th overall in that one. So congratulations to them in the only event that they've had, or the only top level event that they've had this season. It looks like they're trying to expand the number of top level events from 6 to 7 with a new one called in Maryland in the USA, trying to join in as well. Aaron says it is sunny blue skies with no wind apparently up in Auckland, but we'll find out the real story from Stephen. How are you doing, sir?
Yeah, good morning, Paul, and good morning to everybody tuning into New Zealand Sport Radio. I hope you had a great long weekend, and what greets you in Auckland at the moment is 14 degrees and a high of 21. So Aaron is very much on the money. There's a lot of blue sky poking through this morning, and just a continuation of the great weather that we've had. So it's a perfect day to celebrate one's birthday, and birthdays this morning we have a current New Zealand women's footballer, a former number eight who played for Otago and is over in Britain plying his trade, a little bit of rugby in the Gallagher Premiership and the current Auckland Mitre 10 Cup. But we actually start with Stephanie Skilton, born this day, the 27th of October 1994. Right here in Auckland as an association footballer who has represented New Zealand at international level by being capped in the New Zealand women's national team. Skilton was a member of the New Zealand under-17 side at the 2007 FIFA under-17 Women's World Cup in Trinidad and Tobago, making two appearances. She played in all three of New Zealand's games at the 2012 FIFA under-20 Women's World Cup in Japan, where they were eliminated at the group stages. At the 2014 FIFA under-20 Women's World Cup in Canada, Skilton played in all three of New Zealand's group games and quarterfinal match, which they lost to Nigeria. She made her full debut for the senior side as a substitute against Switzerland on the 7th of March 2014. Going to the Oval Ball game, Paul Grant, born this day, the 27th of October 1987 in Balclutha, is a New Zealand rugby union player. He played in the number eight position and occasionally at lock for his provincial team, Otago, that was in the old ITM Cup, and was the captain for the side during the 2012 and 2013 seasons. He was also the captain of Otago when they lifted the Ranfurly Shield for the first time in 57 years. He also represented New Zealand in sevens rugby in 2008. In October 2013, it was announced that Grant would leave Otago in November that year to join French club Montpellier. In 2014, it was announced that Grant had signed with Nottingham for the 2014-2015 season. He returned to England later again in the 2016-17 season and signed for Bath. Now, Grant currently plays for Ealing Trailfinders. Not to what division they're in, maybe Paul might be able to tell me a little bit about them, but I think they're in the Rugby Championship. That's the level below Premier Rugby. And finally, in rugby, we've got a rugby recipient, Alama Itamea, born this day, the 27th of October 1970, is a former New Zealand rugby player and also a rugby union coach, not a former. He also played international rugby for Western Samoa and New Zealand. Now, he played provincially between 1992 and 2000, which included an NPC title. In his final season of club, he played Super Rugby with the Hurricanes. He played in its inaugural season in 1996. I remember him having the distinction of being the first ever try scorer in Super Rugby, and that was against the Blues down in Palmerston North. Unfortunately, it was a game that the Blues went on to win 36-28. Thank you very much to Google for that information. Just on Itamea as well, he also had a stint for Suntory Sun Goliath, and that was also back in 2004. Now, he made five appearances for Samoa in 1992 before jumping ship and playing for the All Blacks between 1994 and 2000, playing 40 games in total for the All Blacks. But I'm curious about this English club, Paul, Ealing Trailfinders.
So Elite Trailfinders are, yes, in the Rugby Championship and are a team of, based out of East London, is where Ealing is, and they are, yeah, well, very much a team with big ambitions that has been recruiting very strongly and, yeah, trying to climb their way up into the Gallagher Premiership and become one of the big boys. But, yes, a big spending team that has, got a lot of international or overseas players in to try and help them boost themselves. Yeah, but fantastic name, Trailfinders, you've got to say. Also, sticking on the rugby and also the weather. So according to Hugh, it's a bit of a wet week in southeastern Australia, so we might see a wet track for the Bledisloe Cup. So, Stephen, we had a wet track for the opening Bledisloe Cup, which was a draw. Are we on track for another draw again this weekend, do you think?
Wow, who knows? I think Australia will be very, very tough over there. I'm predicting it. It kind of wouldn't surprise me if the Wallabies pick up the victory. I think it'll be great for the series if they can, Paul.
Well, join us at 8 p.m. this evening for the Driving More show, where we'll talk more about that and see how it goes. Clearly, keeping it alive to a fourth game would be fantastic for the series. You are quite true. Also, in rugby, and something else we'll probably talk about this evening, is that the Six Nations is back. Ireland obviously won last weekend over Italy. England gets to play this weekend, and a name that all New Zealanders will recognise has been selected for the side, with Umanga being selected for the team. This time it's Jacob Umanga who has been selected to play for England. So, or in the squad for England. We don't know if we'll make it the match day 23 or not. So yes, interesting names there. And we'll talk about probably this evening on the Driving More show at 8 p.m. So do join us for that. Don't forget to join us on Wednesday evening as well for the standoff, where Brad will take you through all of the NRL news, obviously reviewing the grand final from the weekend, amongst other things. In the tennis, then, and congratulations to Michael Venus, who has won his third ATP doubles title of the year with the partner Australian John Peers. They won the 6-3, 6-4. For the Europe, to win the European Open in Antwerp, and as I say, that's their third win of the year, and that's three from three in finals. So they're having a good year after winning in Dubai and Hamburg. This is their first year together, so a good start for them, and obviously plenty of improvement to come. You might say that obviously this is big, but hey. They get to split the €10,000 prize money. So it's not the mega money that they get if they were to win a Grand Slam, but that's obviously on their targets going forwards. Moving on then to the golf in the Zozo Open, Zozo Championship in the PGA. Danny Lee finished tied 72nd. After four rounds there, look, he did beat Phil Mickelson, which is not so bad, four places off the bottom there with one withdrawal from that. Over in the LPGA, and Lydia Ko did a lot better than that, as you would expect. She finished tied eighth over there in the in the LPGA Drive On Championship, at 10 under par. Ali McDonald at 60 under par won the tournament. Over in basketball, and we've had news about what the NBL will look like next season. It's going to open up with the Otago Nuggets versus the Wellington Saints, and the three teams that withdrew this season are back. So it's a 10 team season next year, full home and away. schedule. So that's all the teams will play 9 home games and 9 away games, which means that we're looking at a full 93 game schedule for the NBL, which is fantastic to see. There'll be a special Anzac Day matchup between Nelson Giants and Southland Sharks as well there. So some some marquee games have been called out. The finals, the final four will be on July the 22nd and July the 23rd. Venue TBD on that one. So great news to see the NBL planning for 2021. Before then, we've got the NBL three times three Cup in November on the 12th and the weekend of the 12th to the 14th of November. That's 3-on-3 basketball, not the full five-a-side thing. Before the women's NBL 18-in-18 tournament, which will take place in South Auckland between November the 19th through till December the 5th. So great to see basketball on the rise here in New Zealand. Over in the Villueta, España, and it was a rest day, the first rest day, we found out what Roglic's issues were. He had problems getting his rain jacket on, and that delayed him in the race there, and why he lost time, ended up losing the leader's jersey overall. And we saw similar issues at the Giro d'Italia with riders getting delayed, not being able to change their clothes quickly, and clearly a skill that they need to practice even when they are tired and cold, because it can make all the difference in these top level events. So this is your best way to start the day, and you have done so. Have a wonderful day, folks. The weather is looking good. Join us again at 7 a.m. tomorrow morning for the morning sports briefing. Stephen, yeah, do give you a little wave to the fans, or have you got something you'd like to let others know about, Stephen?
I've got some league news if you want me to.
Oh, league news. Oh, sorry. I've got league news. I thought league was all over now. Sorry, I'll throw you over. The sport that keeps on giving even when they're not playing.
We have got some league news. Paul, I'll quickly go through it. In our league news this morning, we'll check in on the Betfred Super League, some live action. Now, Queensland Maroons skipper Daly Cherry-Evans is predicting plenty of changes for the Maroons game one of State of Origin. And a top journalist has questioned the integrity of the official in Sunday's NRL Grand Final. And that's where we're going to start our league news this morning. Paul Kent believes the Melbourne Storm captain should have been sin-binned for questioning the integrity of the referee during Sunday's NRL Grand Final. But Kent wasn't also overly impressed with the performance of the match official, Jared Sutton, who he accused of keeping the whistle in his pocket during a tense second half. Sutton made the bold yet correct decision to sin-bin two Storm players in the last 10 minutes of the game when Penrith was on the comeback path. Jerome Hughes was sin-binned with 10 minutes left, and then Brandon Smith was marched in the final minute just before Nathan Cleary scored to make it 26-20 with one play remaining. It was when Hughes was binned that Captain Smith spoke to Sutton. The last three or four penalties they have got is very picky stuff, and we have got nothing, mate, Smith said. I get it. Everyone wants an exciting finish, but we are just the same as them. Stop trying to pick little things out of your game to make an exciting finish. Well, those are very interesting comments to an official. Most officials would be offended. During the 2000 State of Origin series, experienced referee Bill Harrigan famously sent Gordon Tallis off the field for calling him a cheat. Ken says Smith could have gone the same way. He is very lucky he didn't get sin-binned, Smith said of Kent said of Smith. Gordon Tallis called Bill Harrigan a cheat. That's just a more diplomatic way of saying it. So there you go. Maybe one of those things where he, being a veteran and a legend, he's got a little bit more influence over the official. Well, speaking, they'll hopefully that official will be on song for the first State of Origin, because Maroons captain Daly Cherry-Evans said a side set to field 8 State of Origin debutants in the 20 series opening has happily embraced the underdog tag. of the 27 players named in the Maroon squad, only 10 have played State of Origin football. One of those is Cowboys outside back Valentine Holmes, who is serving a one-game suspension and is unavailable for the 4th of November clash at the Adelaide Oval. Cherry Evans, speaking from the Maroons camp on the Gold Coast, said it would be likely the 2001 series would be like the 2001 series when coach Wayne Bennett blooded 10 debutants in the opening game of a series won 2-1 by Queensland. I understand how much Queensland were underdogs that year, and we are currently going to be underdogs this year, Cherry Evans said. It doesn't matter which way you want to spin it, we are really going to enjoy that tag and enjoy the challenge ahead of us. I know I am certainly excited about it, and talking to the boys in the camp, we can't wait for what is ahead. Now, new coach Wayne Bennett will be, and his Maroons are aiming to prevent New South Wales from winning 3 series on a trot. If you kind of look at both the sides, definitely the Blues, New South Wales Blues, look at the better side at this stage. And just finally, before I go, I'll just check in with the Betfred Super League. We've got a tight tussle unfolding in Headingley in Leeds, and that's between Salford and St Helens, and it's St Helens that lead by 10 points to 6 at half time. Remembering at this stage, St Helens leading that Betfred Super League table, sitting on 24 points. And that's our league news today. Paul, thanks for hanging in there with me, and I'll see you on the driving mall this evening at 8 p.m. But also look out for Brad on Wednesday evening on the Standoff, where he will wrap up everything NRL and no doubt be talking about that upcoming State of Origin game.
And also, apparently, Carl Flanagan has apparently been released early from the Roosters and is joining Canterbury Bulldogs on a 3-year deal. So I'm sure Brad will talk about that as well on Wednesday evening at 8 p.m. on the Standoff show. So, yes, folks, you now have started the day the best way. Obviously, all the important sports news. I thought the NRL was all over, but apparently not. No, no, no. There is still plenty of news going around. Have a fantastic Tuesday, everybody, and catch you later this evening at 8 p.m. for the Driving Mall show.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.